Be running?
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Go ahead and we'd open up to 1 Peter chapter 1. If you were not here this morning, I so thoroughly enjoy watching the mind of Christ unfold when he's ministering through the various ministers here. And I know that none of us get together. We don't compare notes. Most of us ourselves don't know what we're going to say or what the subject's going to be till we walk out here, much less collaborate with somebody else. So here's Nathan, you know, all during the first service. Not my will, but thine be done. You just praying in tongues is great, but you got to someday, you got to face that thing and you got to exercise your will. So his was all about the will, the way it kept being spoken through him. And then here comes Alan right behind. And what he's really talking about is obedience. Now, if you're going to be a dad, if you want to get married, if you want to get married, and both of them on, you know, the same, it's amazing. But even when, if you're going to be married, you're taking on the responsibility of a husband. And that means you're going to start being obedient to be a husband according to what the word says a husband is. And I mean, it was just amazing watching either way you phrase it, submit your will to God's will. Would you not call that obedience? So there's the general areas of that, which we're going to look at pretty much tonight. General areas, like when it comes to sin and what righteousness and holiness and all of that is, which is pretty much blanket for everybody. You know, it's not like fornication's okay for you, but it's not okay for you. Now, it's just not okay. Okay. But then there's other things that he calls people to do, like he's called me to have a website and make everything for free, and I don't think he necessarily says that to everybody, okay? As other people have other callings, okay? So there's all levels of this obedience, but what I kept hearing for my part on today, to follow the mind of Christ, and it's in this passage right here, I kept hearing the phrase, obedient children, obedient children. He told me years ago am I saying it right? Obedient children. Not just children. Obedient children. And that seemed to be the message today. I especially like how Alan in his service had Joe come over and stand on the chair representing the father. I'll just use Gary. Gary was not always, growing up under O.R. Carpenter, perfectly obedient. I know that shocks you. And you know, and the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord. I'll be honest with you, I think I had the fear of O.R. But it was kind of the wrong kind of fear as a young man, because I really feared the punishment. Really, the fear of the Lord is to honor the Lord and respect the Lord as your father to the point that you obey him. That's different than fearing punishment. Are you with me? I did honor my dad. I love my dad. But that does not mean I was always obedient. And it's been the same thing. That doesn't mean I wasn't his child. It did strain the relationship. And again, my job is to follow as he brings things up. In my lifetime, the perfect example that most people can really understand easily was my youngest daughter, Amanda, whom I love intently. And Amanda, if you're listening to this, yes, I'm about to tell it again. But of my three daughters, who were all teenagers at the same time and all went into rebellion at the same time, Amanda probably rebelled the most. She got involved with an older fella who, by the way, that guy later in life turned out to be a really good guy. God's long-suffering and merciful, okay? But most of us in our youth, we have some rebellion, okay? Well, anyway, she got pretty rebellious. And I love my daughters. I love them. My mother would love me if I decided to be a bank robber. And if you talked to her about it, he'd say, well, one thing about it, he was the best bank robber Oklahoma ever had. You know, be like Alan's mother loving him. And she, you know, he's the best preacher. I don't care what you say. You know, he's the best one. Well, I love my daughter. Well, Amanda, you know, when you talk about rebellious teenagers, you normally think about drinking beer and staying out too late and violating curfew and that kind of stuff. Well, duh, yeah, all three of them in those regards. But she rebelled to the point she was arrested by the FBI in Mobile, Alabama, and brought back charged with interstate transportation of stolen firearms. That's a pretty fair amount of rebellion. Okay, could we say disobedience? I loved her the same before, during, and after. But during that ultimate time when she got arrested by the FBI and they put her in jail, she went beyond the reach of her father. The FBI, I couldn't just go down there and see her. I couldn't just bring her home and pat her on the back and tell her everything's going to be okay. She was facing 12 years. The fellow she did that with, he got a 12-year sentence. I mean, they were talking serious stuff. But it never affected my love. Now, long story short, that miracle took about 2.5 years. You know? And I'm not going to teach on that tonight. Where you stand and you pray and you confess and you watch what you say and you listen to God and you hire the attorney that you think is the wrong attorney because God said hire that guy. I wanted John Wayne. God had me hire Barney Fife. It looked like he didn't even have one bullet for his gun, you know. Turned out, though, he was sure the guy. He was the guy. And he accomplished something that had never been accomplished in Mays County, Oklahoma before, not ever. And long story short, he was the guy. You got to follow God, listen to God, obey God. She wound up coming to her senses during that whole thing, basically returned to her father's house and talking about God, and become a wonderful wife and mother and served in the ministry with us for years. And today is still a good wife. So anyway, God is faithful. Now, the point of that is it doesn't affect a parent's love for their child. And that's what I loved about Alan today. I loved the whole, both services. But when he had Joe come up and stand on that chair to show the father, you know, when we come to the father, what does every parent want? Tell me the truth. Admit it. Now, my dad used to tell me, he says, now, boy, if you did it, you come and tell me the truth. And if you did it, there's going to be consequences. But boy, it's always boy. I don't care if you're 50, it was still boy. Boy, if you come and lie to me about it, the penalty for the lying is going to be worse than the penalty for whatever you did. Don't ask me how I know he meant that. I found out that he meant that. Anyway, I won't go into that story right now. Get to be my age, you got a lot of stories. But you can get yourself out beyond your father's reach. So what we're after, see, and I don't think this is coincidental that this came up today, which is really the first Sunday after the fasting season. January, February, March is normally here to prayer center where we emphasize fasting and putting the flesh on the cross. And he's been doing that for 3 months. And so what's the first real service about after that? Now let's talk about obedience. Because all of that fasting and everything that we've done emphasizing the flesh and putting the flesh on the cross is all for nothing if it doesn't wind up producing more obedience, where you walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. So if you haven't found 1 Peter chapter 1 by now, just look on with your neighbor, as we say. And it's really hard for me. We're going to look at verse 13, and the first word is wherefore. It is so hard for me as a teacher to start with a verse where it says wherefore. I really recommend later that you read all of the verses leading up to this, but if I go there, we'll never even get to the subject tonight because it's so rich and full of revelation knowledge. Let's just start with this verse. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As, now here's the phrase, this is what I kept hearing, as obedient children. Now, I want you to understand, there's children, there's obedient children, and then there's disobedient children. But they're still your children. All three of my girls were still my children, right through their disobedience. They strained the fellowship through their own actions. They strained the fellowship, but they did not strain the relationship. Now, at the end of this service, I'm under commandment. Alan mentioned something today that is truth. Normally, you don't break that parental bond no matter what. God will never walk away from you. But it is true, you can go far enough where you can walk away from God. And you'll wind up where God Himself will have to turn you over to a reprobate mind. And once that happens, you don't care if you come back. See, it's always real quiet when we teach on that. But it's scriptural, and we'll show you for sure. But right now, I want to talk about obedient children. Okay? So he says, as obedient children, well, how do I be an obedient child? Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. Now, in English today, conversation normally means speech, but when this was written, conversation really meant your manner of life. He is talking about your walk. Galatians 5, near the end of it, says, how many of you know we live in the Spirit? Thank God we're born again. But it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And that's what he's talking about here, as obedient children. First quarter of the year, fast. I want you to fast. I want you to crucify the flesh. I want you to put that flesh on the cross every day. Why? So you'll become more obedient. Because the flesh is never going to change. It's not been saved. It's not going to be saved. It's been declared dead. God's going to have to give you a new body. There is no saving this body. You got that? Because it is written, be you holy, for I am holy. Now, in our spirit, that's already been done. God gave us His nature, which in Ephesians 4, we've just preached on that forever. From the get-go, that new nature is created from the get-go, from the moment you're saved, in righteousness and true holiness. This is not an issue with your spirit. Notice it starts off, gird up the loins of your... Look at it. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Your mind has got to team up with your new nature and keep that rascally flesh under obedience. Talking about Jesus, that he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. It also says that he learned obedience, even the obedience of the cross, which for years I didn't get it. That it wasn't just talking about that day he died on the physical cross. He went to the cross every day because he lived a sinless life, which tells me his flesh was on the cross every day. Perfectly on the cross. Okay. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Because we have children in the room, I'm going to have to PG this somewhat. There's even some of the things we're going to look at here. See how I can do this. Okay, it's not this part. This will be near the end. Some of the things, even the definitions, are so vile, you can't read them in the presence of children. Okay? But what I'll do, I will post that part in writing for you at the website. And if you don't have access to the internet, if you ask me, I'll print you a copy and bring it next service. Okay? Anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 14. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. Say it with me. I am the temple of the living God.
I am the temple of the living
God. God dwells in me.
God dwells in me.
And walks in me.
He is my God.
and I am his people. So verse 17, wherefore, because that's true, see, come out from among them. Be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, when he says, I'll be a father unto you, I was a father to Amanda at the worst of her rebellion, but she, by her own actions, removed herself physically and legally from things, many things that I would like to have done for her. I couldn't even see her anytime I wanted. I had to get an appointment and see her once a week, and that was if I wasn't out of town. I was still driving trucks at the time. So I was gone a lot, so it was hard. And I couldn't just visit with her. They had a time limit on there. But behind the scenes, Sue and I were being parents. We were being parents to that girl. We were getting the lawyers. We were doing everything that we could. We got the whole family involved. One of the reasons that it went her way, to the day of the final court appearance thing. I come from a big family, and on both sides. Remember, I've told you my dad had to, on my dad's side there was 12 kids. On my mom's side there was 12. We packed that little courthouse. We had enough of her relatives there, just about the same number as that whole town. It was standing room only in that courthouse. You hear me? And so the judge saw that. He saw that she had quite a support system. Okay? What I'm trying to say is we did everything we could do as parents. You know, that's exactly what God does right in the midst of any rebellion when we're not obedient children. You know, back in the... Anyway, I will be a father. But if you want his fellowship, I mean, I'm so glad that Amanda and I today and have for years had the wonderful, wonderful fellowship that we have. I'm glad she's not behind bars. I'm glad she's not in prison. I'm glad I'm not in prison. thank God there's this fellowship. See, I can be a father to her. She can be an obedient child to me. And that's what we want, isn't it, with our Father. We don't want to strain the fellowship. All right, go to Philippians 2. This is really a two-part message. This part is just some verses as I was praying. They just kept floating up about obedient children. You're his child, whether you disobey or not obey. People are really too rough on themselves. I've been too hard on myself many times. How does Alan say that? When he first came here, I thought he was so arrogant. He says, I am the master of 30-day fast. I said, I'm going to slap your face right off. What are you talking about? Then? I am the master of... He said, you don't understand. No, he says, I master them in one day. I was going to fast 30 days, but I mastered that in one day, and I was done. So what he's saying is he was had a little trouble with obedience himself, bringing the flesh into obedience, okay? God knows that. God will walk through hell with you. Good Lord, I'm the poster boy for that. I smoked for eternity in 3 days. And God loved me and helped me. I never said it was all right, and he never said it was all right. But I kept doing those things, just like Dave said, that would one day spell out my freedom, and one day it did. Been free ever since, okay? Be free the next time you see me. Okay? All right. Philippians chapter 2. Well, this is that. Let me turn there myself, because that's really the passage where it talks about Jesus. Philippians 2. Where I was going to have a start is verse 12. But let this back up to verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, here it is, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. I loved how Nathan this morning was talking about Jesus in the garden. It's obvious there's two wills going on there. Not my will, but thine be done. And it helps me to know That was hard even for Jesus, who is, how did Nathan say it? He's pretty sure that him and God were pretty close. One. And it was still hard to humble his human will. Had to pray three times. Sweat great drops of blood. It was not easy. It's not always easy to obey God. And it's not sin just because you're struggling. If it is, Jesus would have sinned. He struggled. It says it in agony. It was in agony. This war between the will of his human will and the will of the Father. So God knows that. That helps me to know that it's difficult. And God knows it's difficult. But he did it. And whose nature do we have in us now? We have his nature. And we are able to, I'll tell you right now, to be an obedient child most of the time takes humility. You have to humble yourself. Nathan, I like to do what I like to do. I want to eat pizza with my friends and watch 50 episodes of Netflix. I don't know what in the world that boy's watching, but how many times can you watch Lost, though? I mean, you know, you get it memorized after a while. But anyway. And the flesh is never going to, it's never going to join with you. It's always going to want to continue to do what it wants to do. And there comes a humbling. Humble yourself. Not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. So he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now this is where I was going to start for us. But with that backdrop, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is our pattern in everything. If he struggled to bring his will into submission, don't be so hard on yourself when you struggle to bring your will into submission. The key is don't stop the struggle. And don't be condemned while you're struggling. He struggled. Okay, verse 12. Wherefore, based on that, my beloved, now watch this, as you have always obeyed. See that word obeyed? Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Now here it is. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Especially on this path where you've been trained how to hear the voice of God by the way of the Holy Spirit. You're going to get, each of us are going to get instructions from God. Here we go again. Nathan. The way he was saying it this morning. He was going, God would give me instructions that I did not want to do. I just did not want to do that. And I would struggle with that. I'd quit praying. You know what happens there if you fall out of prayer? You do. Because God's not, you know, God's no quitter. Now don't ask me how I know this. You can fall out of prayer for a week. Don't ask me how I know this. A month. More than a month. And something in you says, I think I'll start. I need to pray again, you know. And something way down deep is thinking, he probably forgot about that. You won't be praying 60 seconds hardly, and that same thing is going to come right back up in front of you again. Why? Because he doesn't forget. And he's just been waiting for you to come back around. Patient, long-suffering, waiting for you to come back around. And he's trying to get you to deal with it as an obedient child. But he will never take away your will. You yourself are going to have to someday humble yourself, submit your will, and say, not my will, but your will be done. And then you're going to have to struggle. That's what happened with me finally with the cigarettes. He got it clear to me and showed me some things. He wasn't mean to me, didn't force me to do it. But I finally had to make the choice. And I did make the choice, and buddy, the war was on. I'd like to stand here and tell you that the desire for nicotine left my body. Are you kidding? I'm telling you, that was a rough season for me. I'm sure glad I never got hooked on heroin. If I had that much trouble with nicotine, I don't know what I would have done with heroin, you know. But anyway, I won finally. See, but it started with submitting my will, and then I had to keep submitting it, and it was hard. Okay, but it is now. Look at verse 13. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And notice how it says, work out your own salvation. Now what he means by that is the thing we were teasing about right before the service. It's obvious that God has told some among us not to have coffee or to limit it way back. Others, I have never heard him yet say anything to me personally about cutting back on coffee. If he does, then now I've got an issue. Okay, but I have had him do it on food. He put me on a 40-day meatless fast one time, thought I was going to die. He took, back in the day when newspapers were very popular, we're talking a long time ago, he put me on a 40-day newspaper fast, thought I was going to die. He's done that with all kinds of things with me. Took my music away for 20 years. Remember? That does not mean he's ever going to come tell you to get rid of your music in your house. Depends on what an idol is to you. See? Depends on what it is with you. You got to work out your own salvation. It's not okay for me to stand here and say, God wants you to give up your newspaper. Or today, what would it be? Facebook! Although that may... No, I'm teasing. I'm teasing! Don't write me no letters. But if God says, honey, 7 hours on Facebook a day might be just a little excessive, you know. Or, you know, you have to work out your own salvation. But if you pray and listen to Him, that's what it's saying. Work out your own salvation. Now, we don't have time to look at all of these scriptures. But if you take notes, you might write these down. These are a few more important scriptures on obedience. I will give you the reference and read them. And then I want to do a few more out of 1 John. Romans 1:5. You don't have to turn there. We're going to run out of time. Romans 1:5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. There is an obedience to the faith. You have to believe what Jesus said. You have to treat Him like He's real and His words are real. Okay. Romans 6:16. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now see, the big difference in the new covenant and the old covenant, they didn't really have that choice. They really were slaves to sin. They could try, but nobody could do it. Romans 7 goes into perfect eloquence about that. But in Romans 8, once you get born again, and again, this was taught this morning. This is just the same thing coming through. Once you've been born again, God gives you that new nature. That nature is what sets you free from sin. It is not the Holy Spirit. I remember Dave saying over and over, if the Holy Spirit could set people free from sin, He would have set all the Old Testament saints free from sin. No, what sets you free from sin is the new nature and the voice of that conscience. Yielding. Is that not being obedient? Humbling yourself. Yielding to the voice of that new nature is how you walk free from sin. And it's your choice. See, Romans 6, it really spells it out. It's your choice who you obey. You going to obey the voice of the new nature? Or are you going to obey the voice of your flesh? Which one is it? Romans 16:19. For your obedience. See, we don't talk about obedience a whole lot in the church today. People don't want to hear that. They want to be free, you know. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. And I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. But he was saying, look, your obedience, you're writing to the Romans. Obedience to what? Obedience to Christ. Your obedience has become famous. People around the world know that even though you're living in Rome, your obedience to the gospel has become famous around the world. And it's an inspiration to others. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We always emphasize the first half of this verse and never the last half, except tonight. Everyone knows this verse. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If that's not following the new nature, I don't know what is. That's not listening to the Holy Spirit and bringing every thought into obedience. That's holiness. That's the path to holiness. We've already read the other one. In Hebrews 5:8 it says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Okay? Now, go ahead and turn to 1 John. We're going to do this. We are going to do this. You remember when we did finish John 17 a week or two ago, and Jesus defined forever what eternal life is? This is life eternal, that they would know thee, the Father, that they would know thee, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Okay? So eternal life, you know, Jesus talked about the Pharisees. He said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but those scriptures are the ones that testify of me. But you won't come to me that you'll have it, see? Right? Now, you know I love the Word, but I love the author of the Word more than I love the Word. He is the Word. Amen? But now notice, so the definition is to know God and Jesus Christ. Now, if I interviewed everybody on the street, well, not on the streets much, I went to every church in town and I started lining people up and interviewing them, do you know Jesus? Or I'd say it this way, do you know God? Yes. Yes. Are you a Christian? Yes. Do you know God? Yes. 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 Hopefully most of them would be yes. The thing of it is, now let's look, there's four verses we're going to look at in 1 John. Look at chapter 2, verse 3. We say that we know him. Hereby we do know that we know him. How do you say you know him? How do you know him? Well, I get goosebumps. Well, I feel good. Well, this is how you know that you know him. If you keep his commandments. That's a little different litmus test. In the early days, I was so in love with Jesus. I say early days, I mean early, early days. And reading through the Bible for the first time, and I come to that passage, if you don't forgive everyone their trespasses against you, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. And I heard him as clear as you're hearing my voice. He said, well, you know, and he brought that, remember that couple? There was a certain couple that in my mind, I mean, I hated them. I was so mad at them, and I felt like they had just treated me terrible. And he says, you know, you're going to have to forgive them, or you're not going to go very far with me. I don't want to forgive them. There's nothing in me that wants to forgive them. He said, well, you're not going to go very far with me. I said, well, I want to go far with you. Then you're going to have. So you remember that whole deal? See, he began giving me commandments. It's not just what's written. It is what's written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is his word. Love your enemies. But see, he'll bring it down to the rubber meets the road with you individually. So it's one thing to love your enemies read in church. It's another thing to, you got to forgive them. Well, I can't even find anything in me that wants to forgive them. How would I do that? And he gave me the most simple commandment. Every time you think of them, just ask that I would bless them. And I did that in disobedience. First time I thought of them, I said, okay, I'm asking you to forgive them, and you know I don't mean it. Because I knew that he saw my heart, he knew I didn't, you know. But that began to change. You know him if you keep his commandments. And really, I think he is more concerned with not just the commandments. Listen, yes, I'm not even going to say it that other way. Yes, we are to keep his commandments. I like it, say it this way. Keep the red words. Be sure you keep the red words. Whatever he says, you keep that. That's his word. But really, if you're going to work out your own salvation, you need to keep the commandments that he has specifically for you. See, it wouldn't do for me, no matter what I do, it wouldn't do for me to have a website where we sell a bunch of stuff. I'm not coming against anybody who sells stuff at their website, but I'm just saying for me, that would be gross disobedience, because I'd be a liar to tell you that I didn't hear him tell me. I know he said give everything away free. And it would just be rank disobedience. So part of knowing him is doing what he tells you. That better? If you know him, do what he tells you. Okay. There's four of these. Boy. 1 John, go to chapter 3, look at verse 22. So how do you know that you know him? Well, you're keeping his commandments. Well, I'm not keeping his commandments. I hate people. I don't ever forgive. I don't ever do nothing. I don't do nothing. Well, I'm not sure you know him. You may know about him. Okay, that's enough. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. Whatsoever, how many wants their prayers answered? I'm going to set you up first. You'd like to get your prayers answered? Good. I got you set up good here. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we, what? Keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Can't preach on that. I think it speaks for itself. Don't have time. 1 John chapter 5. Look at this one. What I did, these four little verses, I did a word search. Keep his commandments in 1 John. And these four verses came up. They're so powerful. 1 John chapter 5. But how are you going to be obedient if you don't keep his commandments? Come on. 1 John 5, 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And anyway, the very next one is the next verse, 1 John 5, 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. I just love God. Have you forgiven your enemies? Oh, no, I hate them. But I know I love God. Dave went through this in the early days. He says, God, I'll tell you what, I'm kind of done with people. He said, you know, that's one reason he moved to the wilderness. Get away from people. I want to move, get away from... I love you, God. It's these people. God said, that's not going to work. If you're going to love me, you're going to love people. See? How do we know that we love people, the children of God? When we love God and keep his commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not greedy, grievous. We're right back around full circle to obedient children. They're all our children. But the more that your child loves you, respects you, reveres you and honors you, the more obedient they're going to be. But the more we love God, revere God, honor God, and have a desire to serve him, the more obedient we're going to be. Even if that means giving up your coffee, even if that means doing some fasting, even if that means praying for your worst enemy, no matter what it is. But we want to be obedient children. All right, go to Romans 8 real quick. I'm going to take about an extra 5 minutes tonight. Romans 8. There is such a thing as your own volition if you choose to go far enough and live long enough in sin. You can separate your relationship with the Father. Here it is. You don't have to take my word for it. You've got His word for it. Romans 8, look at verse 12 and 13. Therefore, brethren, is that written to sinners or saints? Written to saints. What chapter are we in? Romans 8. Old covenant or new covenant? This is the whole, this is where if you, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. This is where He talks about the new nature. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Now, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Stop for a moment. Who is He talking to? He's talking to born-again people. Born-again people. He's not talking to sinners. Sinners are already dead. He's not talking about physical death here because, trust me, if he tarries, saint and sinner both are going to physically die. He is talking to somebody who is at this moment reading this letter who is spiritually alive. And He has given them in plain words, if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if, and it should be a little s, if you through the Spirit, now that's a little s, Dave taught us forever on this verse. If you through the Spirit do mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. This is a strong warning that's not preached very much. And it comes directly against the radical grace movement that's sweeping around this planet. That it's all grace and that the price has all been paid. This is exactly the flows with the message this morning. But I want to give you some real definite scriptures. Not so much that I'm concerned about anybody in here or even listening. If you're listening to a calling in the law service, you're the hardcore. You're the diehards of the diehards. But this will give you ammunition to help people that are listening to this, I'm going to say, damnable heresy that's going to wind up putting a lot of people in hell. It is a damnable heresy. I don't care how much, how big their church is and how many times they're on TV around the world. It is not the truth of the gospel. If you, it does not say if you once in a while, if you stumbled over the flesh. Notice if you live. Is this your lifestyle? Have you stopped the struggle? This is exactly what Alan and Nathan both were talking about. Have you come to the end of the struggle and you're listening to these teachers? Can I say it any plainer? On TV telling you that you can live in sin and go to heaven, they're liars. Now you can't make a lifestyle of that. If you live after the flesh, if you yield to the flesh and live that way, if that's your lifestyle, you shall die. We could go to Jude right now. These men who, they are turning the grace of our Lord Jesus into lasciviousness. Well, what does that mean? They're saying His grace covers an immoral lifestyle. And it says about them, Peter and Jude both say about those guys, they're twice dead. How can somebody be twice dead? You're born spiritually dead. Then you come alive in Christ Jesus. But you pushed it too far. And now you have been plucked up by the roots and you are twice dead. And they're preaching it's okay to, that you can live that way. And God's cool with it. God is not cool with it. Look at it in your Bible. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. Now, I have a lot more information than we have time, so I'm going to do it this way. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I can't see back there in the back. Do we have children in the room? They're gone? Okay. I'm going to go ahead and read this. This whole little part here, this is called If You Live After the Flesh. And I will post this whole thing with all these definitions along with this lesson at the website. Okay? And not me. I'm just looking up definitions in Vines, Strong's, and the New American Heritage Dictionary. It's all it is. I'm not adding or taking away. But just look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. And boy, there is a lot of deception going on today. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Is that in your Bible? Is that, did he stutter? I looked up some of these words for you. Now, you don't have to write these down. I'm going to post this. Every word that's in that passage, fornicators, the Greek word is pornos. Come on. P-O-R-N-O-S. Sound like any words we have today? Pornos. And it just means unlawful sexual intercourse of any kind. Unlawful according to God's law, not man's law. Idolaters. Strong's says it is an image worshiper. An image worshiper. Vines Dictionary defines it this way. The warning is to believers against turning away from God to idolatry, whether openly or secretly, consciously or unconsciously. Okay? Adulterers, according to Vines, one who has unlawful intercourse with the spouse, the married spouse of another. Okay? Now, this is the one that I was not going to read if we had children present, but they're not present now. Effeminate. This is Strong's. I'm just reading from Strong's. A catamite. I didn't know what a catamite was. Do you? C-A-T-A-M-I-T-E. So I went to the American Heritage Dictionary and looked up catamite. One who engages in anal intercourse, especially with a boy. Paul would be very politically incorrect today. How about this next one? Abusers of themselves with mankind. Strong's definition. A sodomite. I'm pretty sure I knew what that was, but I went through the American Heritage Dictionary. That is anal copulation of one male with another. Number two, anal or oral copulation with a member of the opposite sex. That is so rampant today. That is so considered normal today. Thieves. Even I knew what that was. It means a stealer. Do you know what? Now this next one, and today in America, covetous. Do you know it's linked? Paul puts covetous right in with all these other things. And that's eager to have more of what belongs to others, greedy of gain, a defrauder. That's Vines. Drunkard just simply means to be intoxicated, but it means to be chronically drunk. See, how was it Alan that says, how did he word that? You might tell a lie and not be a liar. That's true. There's truth to that. See, no, this is talking about those who live after the flesh. There is a line somewhere. People have asked me down through the years, where is that line? How far can you go? How many affairs do you have before, you know? And I think, Gary's opinion, I think God is the only judge. And I think he has purposely blurred that line. Because only he can really look on the heart. But if you'll read Romans chapter 1, which we're not going to have time to get in tonight, listen, you can push it and push it and push it to where God himself, he'll just let you go. He says, and he turned them over to a reprobate mind. But once he does that, you don't care anymore. You don't care whether you come back or don't come back. But it was your choice, not his. You just kept on. I don't want you. I don't want you. I don't want you. I will not yield to you. I don't want you, God. Well, he'll finally let you go. You become twice dead, too, if that happens. We're not even talking about backsliding here. Don't ask me how I know about backsliding. I haven't done a whole lot of it. But yes, you can backslide and come back to God. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about if you make the conscious decision to live, and I mean live, after the flesh, you shall die. Not maybe. You shall die. I'm going to finish up this list, and I'll post the rest of them. We're already way over. Revilers in that list, according to Vines, means abusive, railing, and reviling. I didn't know for sure. I looked up each one of those words in the American Heritage Dictionary. Abusive means to wrongly or incorrectly use or treat someone. Railing means to condemn or attack in bitter, harsh, and abusive language. Reviling means to denounce with abusive language. And the last one is extortioners. Vines and Strong's didn't help me much. They both gave the same word, rapacious. That clears it up. I had no idea what rapacious means. So I had to look that one up, American Heritage Dictionary. It means taking by force. Plundering. Greedy. Did you know that Jesus said that about the Pharisees? They are extortioners. And they steal widows' houses. And you know how they did it? By their doctrine. What they were preaching. Getting money from little widows. None of that's going on today on Christian TV. If you live after the flesh, there's a lot of information on here which I'm not going to have time to read, but all of this will be at the website. I'm just going to read you one other passage. What does it mean to live after the flesh? Galatians 5:19 is another good list, because it says, now the works of the flesh. The warning is, if you live after the flesh, you'll die. Well, what's the flesh, Gary? What is it? Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Here we go again. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. You know what that is. Lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. That's not an exhaustive list. Things like that. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, they which do such things, and he means habitually as a lifestyle, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Serious stuff. Just so you'll know, one of the things in here, it's witchcraft. Witchcraft, the Greek word there, that's a bad translation. The Greek word is pharmakia. It's where we get our word pharmacy from. What's it talking about? Drug abuse. It's talking about all forms. If that's your lifestyle, you live after the flesh. I love Jesus. Yeah, you're stoned all the time. You know, out of your mind on drugs all the time. You better not. How is this shouting message again, you know? Okay. I got to quit. I'll post all of this. It's called If You Live After the Flesh.